So, Janine is going to oversee the commencement of this meeting. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Can we start the meeting?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. We got Doug. Hey, Doug.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Sure. So, welcome to the special joint meeting with the Public Works Advisory Board and Recreation and Parks Commission. Today we're going to tour a couple of different parks in the city, and we have some projects that we're going to go over at each of the parks. So first what we're going to do is take a forum for each of our groups, and then take some public comment, and then we'll get on the trolley and get going. So, Kirk, if you want to do your forum check for your group?
Yes, I'll go ahead and open up our meeting and turn this over to our chairman for today, Drew.
Hi, I'm with Drew Sedaris, Parks and Recreation, and we have a quorum, so I declare this meeting on. Open.
How's that work?
Great.
Okay. And then we have Doug Rogers, who's our chair for the Public Works Advisory Board, and I'll turn it over to Doug to determine whether it is a quorum for our group.
Welcome, everybody, and thank you for participating. It looks like we have a quorum.
So we have forum for both the Public Works Advisory Board and Recreation and Parks Commission. So with that, we'll move on to public comment. Is there any member of the public who is speaking to the Board and Commission?
Go ahead.
No. Then we'll move on to the annual parks tour. So we'll board the trolley and move to our first stop, which is going to be City Park. And the transit hub stop between the local and regional transit system.
All in favor, riding.
It's not allowed.
Oh, sorry.
So, this is the first stop on the tour, City Park. We wanted to come through the gates as we pass as we exited the trolley and walked past our existing transit shelter. It's a project that we're going to be closing that shelter, which is going to be over the past getting grant funding from a couple of different sources, state of district care money, rural transit fund money. We're putting in some of our local transit money that we get from the state each year. And finally have enough gathered up our project. So earlier we went out to bid for a consultant to do the final design and get the plans for construction and what to do later. So we have Steve Conley here today. He's going to be our presentation board is going to give a quick little presentation about some of the design engineering elements and get some input from both the board and the commission. So I'll turn it over to Steve.
Thank you very much. Again, I'm Steve Kahn with Canon. This is Anthony Severy with Canon. And Michelle Stokes with Rabat Associates Architects. We've been working with the city, like Janine said, and working on design, coming up with some ideas. What we really want today is we want your input. We have three or four different types of shelters we can use, three or four different lights. We'd like to have some stickers here for you to put stickers next to one you like the most. We're encouraging you all to have written comments. So great, fill this out. And then the back of it is a copy of this board and also a copy of the site plan, the conceptual site plan we have for this site. We've been working with the layout, also looking at art in the park to make sure that we lessen the impact of art in the park. And the city doesn't plan to construct this till the end of the summer after Labor Day when art in the park is done. So with that, if everybody come over here, we'll show you the board. And also the same thing is in the packet if you want a closer look. Come take a look. There you go, thank you. These are the different types of shelter. These are the different types of fences, and these are the different types of lights. The existing shelter is right here, number 3, So that shelter will be gone. The new shelters will be there. We're proposing two of them. Then the fencing, the fence we're proposing here, and we're proposing around here. So whatever fence we choose, they're going to match. Everything will probably be painted the same color. We have a bike rack here. We have a light here, a light here, a light here. And the inside of the shelters will be lit.
None of these are fully enclosed at all?
No, this one is a bathroom. But if you feel enclosure is important to you, please put it down the clipboard.
The question I would have is that, you know, here in Morro Bay, we get a lot of wind action.
Yeah.
Lot of wind, and if it's raining, you know, that's why probably this one is enclosed, because especially on that ocean side there.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are the types of comments we want.
Definitely want them. Yes. So please write any comments you have. So what we're also going to be doing is we're going to be putting a new curb ramp where that car is right there, a new curb ramp on the other side of the Oddfellows Hall, and then all new sidewalks all along here. It's going to be wider for ADA access. And then if we have enough money left over when we're done, we'll have a new sidewalk coming in to the community, to the bathrooms, the public bathrooms. So one of the comment staff really told us what they wanted. They wanted this thing fairly well lit. First of all, for public safety, so people can see what's going on. So that tree will be gone, and that tree will be gone because they're uplifting sidewalk and they're pushing the current sidewalk.
Would we be replanting trees or just removing a couple trees?
We're just removing two trees at this time, that one and that one.
So eventually the idea is that we would like to replace those trees, whether they're in the park or somewhere else within the city right-of-way. That's something that we'll be looking at.
Say that again, please.
The two trees that are getting removed, we do want to replace them, whether it's somewhere in the park with a more appropriate-sized tree and location or somewhere in the public right-of-way.
How about, like, sycamores or something native?
Yeah, something indigenous, because these trees are terrible.
Yeah. They're a mess, too.
We certainly hope to pull out every one of these flowering eucalyptus trees at some point over the course of the next 10 years. Because they're uplifting all the sidewalks.
Yeah.
Not just here.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I'm very sensitive. I've been with the Pump Works official for different cities for many years. And street trees lifting sidewalks is a huge problem. I like trees in the right-of-way, so don't get me wrong. But just while I'm lifting my sidewalks.
This looks like it's going to have a glass back.
So we do want to encourage you guys to come up to the board, take a look at the options that we have. And we want to get your opinion as to what option you like better than others. So if you want to take a little sticky here, maybe put your initials on it and just stick it next to the option that you like the most, and we can kind of tally them up and see what everybody likes.
Okay. Does it matter what color?
Nope. Whatever color you like.
You should definitely have red.
Wow.
Thank you.
Probably for around.
You got one sticky to.
Oh, sure.
Stick it there.
Put a stick right
in there. Feel free to take, you know, leave the clipboard, leave the comment sheet, but feel free to take the
exhibit. Okay. Is there not a bike rack already at the park?
There's a one on the side of that structure right there.
So you would replace the one that's already
that
there?
That replaced one, yes. We'd be using this style right here.
So what do you say?
It's a Peak bike rack, very popular. It's a good one. Your bike can fit in there, and it's a way to lock it easily, and also can stand up and not a kickstand.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Right. So when you stay out of the weather, would that be with a back to stop the wind and a roof to stop the rain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are the sidewalks planned on being concrete?
Yes, sir.
Why do you...
There you go.
That's where they built that one. So that's what we're going to do. Inside the bus shelters,
there'll be digital displays of the RTA routes and the city of Bay routes.
So just that, yeah.
So please return your clipboard and your comment.
But usually these are so facing the street.
Yeah.
Right? Like, whatever that is.
How many parks are you guys seeing today?
300.
Okay.
I mean, these seem like pretty something standard that you'd see in some stores.
Yeah.
Sunday. That's what they say. I'm going to be up in Monterey for the weekend. It's supposed to rain even more in there. We're driving home Saturday. Don't forget to put your dots on the board.
I thought it might be right there on here. Where's our paintball?
This is powder coated. They were supposed to have one there behind the basketball court, so that's the one for the road. And one over there to replace that one by the playoff. But that sidewalk's getting bigger.
You got a hammer and a nail. Not on this part, I guess.
Some sort of paver or something, or.
Put it on your board.
There's no dumb ideas.
Yeah.
I was probably going to ask about the mineral and I did the whole trimmer cycle. Is there any environmental benefits from those cables? If you do it right. It permeates the water into the ground more.
Does it help the city in any way with credits towards?
It does. If you design it correctly and the regional board approves it, yes.
That lighting, how is it powered? Electricity.
So just electrical lighting, not solar.
Well, the problem is, like was brought up earlier, it's so foggy here that the light is less. We want those lights to be on at 2 in the morning.
Right. I mean, my dad has a solar panel in his house, and he doesn't have a problem.
Really?
He doesn't have electricity. He doesn't have it at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, so we have a much bigger area than we would have. We'd only have the shelter.
And how many lights are you needing to power?
What we're proposing
what,
is
like
three.
A day?
Two shelters here, three lights, and the lights in the shelter and the screens for the digital schedule display.
I know I'm asking the tough questions, but ultimately, you know, it's our money that goes
to
power all these things.
You want to see
storage, can I keep the other stuff?
Yes, you can. Everything else you can keep, sir. All we want is that. Clip one in your comments. You please keep the other 10.
You can have the stickers, too.
Yeah, my pleasure. We really enjoy it. Your city, we want to do what you want.
If you're done with your dots, I'll collect those from you guys.
Yeah, anybody want to do dots?
Oh, I got
it. The
runaway comments.
I think I had the runaway comments. Sorry about that.
Feel free to take a pin, too.
Advertising.
I didn't say that.
It's going to go on the bill. Miscellaneous.
It's swag, right?
Sorry about that.
And everything else is stay. We're only working over there with the transit pin. And then on the sidewalk. Everything else, the buried treasure, the basketball court, the bathrooms, all the barbecue areas, and all stay. We're not touching that. Although it'd be nice to have a better spot, but that's not part of the project.
Are there any requests by the department?
Only request, well, Janine maybe can say better than I. They just want to make sure that they can continue to function and they have the same number of beds.
Put that in your comment.
I don't want to lose boots. And I think it's a tremendous successful festival. I've come here and I've bought art before. I like it.
Yeah.
Three weekends a year. That's a good point.
Yeah.
On the digital display, I'm suggesting some kind of a place that they can make notes. They don't put the notices there if there's some change in schedule or the driver is in trouble. They put it on the fence.
But I would say,
like,
you know, there's something specific.
I got screwed a couple times because I never saw it.
Right.
And there was no bus when it was supposed to be a bus.
Even if it's not raining.
So I didn't understand.
So maybe for the first 2 weeks when it's scheduled, you put it in the van.
You know.
What's going to happen is we're going to work with the RTA and getting the information on there. But no, it's not owned and managed by the RTA. It'll be managed by the city of Morro Bay.
They do have some in San Luis for bus stops.
They do. They're right there on Osos and Palm.
Right. But those are not owned by the RTA, or they are?
I think they are, the ones at Osos and Palm, right there by the County Government Center.
Yeah. Is there an opportunity for the RTA to actually have a similar...
I think so. The city works closely with the RTA, and they have systems that they use right now, because they actually have what's called smart buses, where they have a computer on each of the buses, and they send signals to the station like that one. It tells you when the bus is actually going to be there.
Yeah, I use the bus as well.
Yeah, so the ultimate goal with the city is they want to go there. They want to have that. So these computer screens we're putting out will be able to do that in the future.
Good.
But you got to get computers on these buses and buy all the software and install it.
Yeah, so if the city of Morro Bay buys and owns and operates one of these, then how will we know that it will keep up with the developments that the RTA does with their own signs?
They have. They'll have to coordinate. Absolutely.
I couldn't.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. You want to put that on your clipboard if you want. I mean, I think that's a good point.
It's hard growing up here. Like,
there's an RTA coordination for the digital display.
Exactly.
Families been here for a long time, so some of those things really drive me nuts, to be honest.
I would totally agree. Like, what drives me crazy when the community has a beautiful clock in the center of a park, and the clock is wrong.
It's like,
you get a DeLorean, you 88 miles an hour.
And then they come to work and they're like, oh, this is cute, let's make it in Santa Cruz. And you're like, that's not going to work. There's a million reasons why that can't work.
What do I want?
It gets sometimes.
We don't have a lot of lighting.
It
doesn't matter.
No, you don't. I don't go all over the city. Look for a light to match.
Yeah.
You're good.
Have you noticed?
We're updating the entire park here.
You got about 4 minutes.
Put
your dots on. 4 minutes. You guys got more work to do.
Okay. What did you get about this thing?
I don't think it's going all the way around.
Oh, the fence?
Yep.
Exactly what's there, just replace it.
Oh, okay.
There it is. Yeah. Dr. Bob?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
These networks here is a basketball court.
Right in the back in the middle.
Right. I know. I come down here sometimes with my daughter and play soccer.
Yeah, right there. That's
What
can happen is that's a revolving schedule, so you can actually set it up so that you'll see the schedule.
It's supposed to be so big that the ball will get away.
Round five.
I know. Well, when you're playing with a 10-year-old, sometimes they're like, "I'm going to boot it."
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
They're starting to get all this technology figured out for the transit world.
Well, the paper notice is not on the fence. You know,
don't cut it.
15 yards away from the shelter. It's really.
What kind of time frame are you going to be looking at for beginning to end?
To construct it?
Yeah.
Well, the city doesn't want to disrupt art in the park, so what they're tentatively planning is bidding it over the summer of 22 and starting construction after Labor Day in 22.
And then how long would this plan take for you guys to
build it? Well, we wouldn't build it. We're the designers, but a contractor would build it. And I would say, as long as the shelter is pre-ordered, because that lot right now everything's so back-ordered, I would think that this project could be completed in 3 months.
3 months. For the shelter, the fencing, the lighting,
yes.
The bike rack.
Yeah.
Well, they got to bring the electronics for the digital sign. Right?
Yeah. So maybe
it's got to be trenched from
November, October, November, before Christmas.
And these shelters that are here in this model, they come as they are, so they are just assembled by the contractors here?
We buy them pre-manufactured. We work with the manufacturer on the color, the style, everything about it, and then it comes delivered like that. You put a foundation down, and you bolt it down.
So the contractor is putting them together?
Yeah, he's basically putting it together, but it's all pre-done. He's not making it on the site.
Yeah.
It comes pre-done, and he's merely installing it and bolting it down.
And so how many employees would be here for 3 months doing that?
I would think not a lot.
Like
I'm going to guess. No, contractor.
4 to 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's sometimes more, you know, maybe your electrical will be out here, your concrete guy will be out here.
The big deal will be the excavation and the framing and the concrete.
Yep. But I wouldn't think a lot of people. All right. Anybody want to put a dot? This is it. Gone.
How much of this is graffiti proof?
Nothing's graffiti proof, sir.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry to tell you.
I mean, but they have painter graffiti proof. So the paint won't stick to it.
That's correct. I did a bridge in Atascadero, Lewis Avenue Bridge, and we put the graffiti proof paint on it so you easily clean it off.
Right.
But the best thing to do is graffiti proof paint, but also have more paint ready to go.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Because you want to remove the markings as quickly as possible.
And matching paint.
Is that, is that a Parks and Rec staffing thing that covers up graffiti, or is that public works?
That's public works.
That's public works.
There's actually only one graffiti man in our whole county. The sheriff's department operates it. There's one volunteer that drives it countywide, one person, one van.
Really?
I thought all the graffiti Slow had a in team. The whole county.
But we can clean our
county, not the city.
Yeah, yeah, that's no problem.
You're right.
Yep.
Okay. All right, you guys need to be on your way or I'll get in trouble.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll have to follow you. We're going to move on to our next park.
Hey there. So our second stop is the Cloisters. Very popular.
Introduce yourself.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I forget. You guys know me? No. I'm Pamela Newman. I am the assistant engineer, one of two. this is Cloisters. We wanted to bring this a little bit up to date, have a little bit more maintenance, refresh it. So the first thing we did was we hired a consultant, a Oasis Associates. They're a landscape architecture consultant, and we had them sort of do an evaluation and a long-term update, long-term analysis that we could use a bit like a master plan. And so they went through different areas of the park. The first area we decided to start and reconstruct and beautification, I guess, is the islands. So we went ahead and created an actual landscape plan. I created a landscape plan because I do engineering, but I'm also a landscape architect. And we set out different drought tolerance that would not use that much water, which is good because we do have a dry climate and we're already, you know, needing to lower the water amount that we use. They upgraded the irrigation to make sure it was working properly, no water was being lost or wasted. And we added some colors by using a lot of succulents and, like I said, drought-tolerant plants. The next phase is, as you guys maybe noticed, our crew is putting in ground cover in between the space, parkways, as they're called, between the walking path, because that area hasn't really been able to grow a lot to be used. It's very narrow, so there's very limited things that can grow. So we decided to pick a silver carpet ground cover that is really drought tolerant. It grows slowly, but it's very drought tolerant. They did upgrade the irrigation in that area too, so most of the funds from the Cloisters assessment district area went towards this, as well as the maintenance. Now, there are different areas, but at the moment, with the limited funds in the assessment district, we are on pause for this next phase. So that's kind of what we have at the moment. You're welcome to come and take a look at this report, which has a little bit more details, kind of like the board that we saw at the last stop. It kind of did the same thing. It's a study, more or less, and the actual construction documents, we can do it in-house.
Is the silver carpet Diamondia?
It is Diamondia. Very good. Great.
I'll just add to, after we hang around here for a minute, we want to take you guys over to the pond and show you what's going on there, so...
Is that part of this that just wasn't mentioned?
I don't think that the pond is in there.
No, the pond was not part of it.
It's a newer issue.
Yeah, yeah. The pond is...
It's been there since before all these houses, but...
Right, yeah, but the issue with the pond is sort of a new thing that wasn't contemplated in the plan.
Of course, it wasn't.
So yes, please feel free to come up here. Any questions that may come up from this, please contact me. Right here, you can ask questions. Yes.
Hopefully, no eucalyptus.
No, not at all. No eucalyptus.
We don't want any of that.
We certainly do not want. Yeah, certainly do not want. Absolutely. Yep. Eucalyptus in the landscape architecture world out here is not looked on well. So we agree with you. Yeah, we completely agree. Exactly. Sycamores are great. Any, you know, draft ball. And also appropriate use is really big because we have noticed commonly throughout the area, people maybe don't always pick the appropriate type of tree for smaller areas. And shrubs and that kind of stuff comes. So you have to think of long-term maintenance because a lot of the development is done and then walk away, whereas the city has to maintain. So we have to think of that. Yeah. I know, right? What a concept. What a concept. Great concept. We should keep in mind that. And we have it. It's part of the city council. And so it's up there, but I don't think it's like a separate no, we don't.
We should.
Yes.
No,
well, if we could upload it, we can say, hey, we're going to upload it.
Well, you know that, like, eucalyptus is... That'd
be good. Okay.
Eucalyptus
were
here
before. I like that. Okay, so just an announcement. We will be uploading this before.
Well, not the ones that
look at it at another time. With all those eucalyptus. In case anybody forgets. This is specific just to landscaping. It doesn't really have anything necessarily to do with like the actual part of it, like where people will be spending time.
Right. So they tried to separate into different sections and dedicate to various different areas. So you have the parkways, but you can move through like the playing field. You've got the neighborhood parkway, just the highway.
Oh, there's a buffer. Tree buffer.
Yeah, right there along the highway. But that one's very sensitive because currently
we talked a long time about
your problem was
having your
so that's why we went with the easier, simpler kind of thing that you can get within that budget because assessment has very so the city's responsible for these neighborhood medians in this housing tract. So technically I believe the city is responsible for that, but the owners have kind of taken it over. They really wanted to plant and kind of coordinate with what the residents are already doing. So they've sort of taken over that. We are technically responsible for it, and we did sort of maintain them as well. But and if there's missing plantage or something like that, our guys or this group does spruce it up.
That's not me. That's just good.
But, is there like already irrigation on this island, you call it?
Correct.
Until Saturday, 9 a.m.
There is irrigation. So we need to upgrade that because the irrigation had been, heads were broken, there were pipes that weren't working. So that was the first thing we did, our maintenance crew did, is go through there and make sure it was working, testing, and fixing what was needed to fix what was needed. So, these were landscaped though before.
Yeah.
So they were actually landscaped was the original
development
from 1996.
Summer of 98. Yeah. So one of the things that I worked for this business in Maria landscape park, and I'm trying to bring that to somebody out here because there's a lot of emphasis on long-term maintenance.
Yeah, sustainability.
Right. One of the biggest things that we noticed, just in this field, is that when you hire a developer or when you hire a construction company or even a designer, is they're thinking of now, you're not always thinking of long-term maintenance. Because they hand it to you once it's beautiful and then walk away. And a lot of people believe that these plants are going to look great for the first 5 years. And then it will grow to the point where, and that's why you see a lot of shrubs that look like squares. Because they were not the appropriate size.
Well, they built the
I tried to keep that as much away. So we wanted to do something that more angles, something that was succulent, dry. There was some existing grass, but grasses are kind of a tough one too because they do have a limited lifespan, and they look awful in the winter. So we didn't want, we didn't went through all this, and I analyzed what we need for cake, and then I think it was fine. We saw a lot of stuff in mind, and I think we went out there and plant stakes so that our crew could easily know what plants to put in.
And then, and within your drought-tolerant plants, I see you have several flowering plants.
So we went, this was the landscape architect's design, and we didn't pick all these plants for the same reason that I was thinking of. I'm like, that will look great for a couple of years, and then they'll grow too big.
Well, I mean, some of them don't, and two here on the coast, since there's so much sea salt, air, and fog, some of those types of plants, their growth is stunted. Are you putting an emphasis to on flowering plants for like the butterflies?
Exactly.
Things that rely on that.
And that was another reason we didn't want to add grasses. Grasses are a really quick way to get color, but they don't give anything back.
Right.
And so we wanted to make
water less.
Exactly. Right. So we wanted to use more natives that, not all natives clearly because we don't have that much variety, but we did want to use natives that produce flowers, colors, and that's where we also get succulents. We try to get specifically succulents with color. And the catch with a lot of succulents is that people really like them, so
they'll take them.
They will walk away with them. Yes, it is a big problem. Yeah. So we that will probably be an ongoing maintenance. This is the best way to color with little. Maintenance.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then as far as the water being used, is it going to be like portable water?
As far as I know, I don't believe it is. No, it is potable. It is connected to our regular water system.
Yeah, okay.
Irrigation. We don't have a separate non-potable system in place. It's just whatever
water mainline is, the local. Okay, so it would be like state water that the city pays for?
Correct.
To maintain this landscape.
Correct, yeah, we do pay the water bill. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the assessment is what funds that.
Okay.
Not a farm. So is this the little park right here?
Yes, so that's where we're at.
Where's this island that we're looking at?
So the island is actually in the middle of the street. That's the island we're talking about, or I was talking
about. So this thing, okay, I see. So this thing right in front of where these
here is not included. Not at least for this report. It doesn't mean the future we won't. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So the meeting you were talking about is in the middle of the street.
Correct.
Because it does look like there's some stuff planted around here.
So what our guys did, our crew did, was in order to not just throw all of the good plants that we could use. So the last design is dated, and one of the things they you can see in the design is they did a lot of grid patterns, so they would put grasses in a row and have this whole chunk of a lot of different row patterns. We wanted to create something more natural because it's easy to maintain, and if, let's say, a couple of those grasses die, it doesn't look, it looks weird. There's a grid and all of a sudden these random ones die and you replace them and they're going to be smaller versus larger. So if you keep, them more organic, you keep them more natural, a plant dies, you replace it, you never know it should have been there, you know, or shouldn't have been there. You continue that more organic design, basically. And the plants that we decided to take out to break up that grid pattern, some of those are perfectly good. So our maintenance guys took them and replanted them in areas where we wanted to continue that natural look. So we sustainably recycled.
And as far as this this tree line that you're thinking, are those trees going to extend much above Highway 1? Because I know a lot of people, I mean, even just homes on the other side, you know, that may block their view, or homes driving along the road that might get
right.
The,
so this was done by This was done by landscape architect, and that was one of the things that we don't agree with. Because we do want some trees, but there is a very restrictive height limitation for the cloisters. It literally can't be, I believe, higher than 12 to 15 feet. It's very limited. So if there was trees, it shouldn't be on the freeway or that close, because you will block the view. And the last thing anybody by the ocean wants to do is block the view. So again, that's another thing where when they do a report, the landscape companies, consultants sometimes don't think of that long-term idea. So they kind of kept it kind of vague, but they did emphasize the tree. And we thought, well, we might be able to make a tree work, but it's got to be way lower. Blasting again is blocking that view. And heights. Oh, on the other side, on Main Street.
Have you thought of putting like dune grass? I mean, because also, you know, that, like you said, the soil over there is not super.
No,
I mean, I grew up here. I grew up when they built this whole area, and I know, what happened.
This is all infill, so it's not.
This is actually used to be a natural saltwater mine,
exactly,
underwater a lot of times.
Yeah,
so it's brought all this stuff in. I wonder too if you are planning on doing that area. Would you, instead of trees, would you do something like shrubs, grass, or shrubs, or like climbing sections,
Stabilization is a great idea, and there's options that are very tucking on the ocean that have sort of a succulent. They're sort of succulent based, basically, and they do take over. Some of them do great by salt water.
Right.
So that would be the best. To do that. We haven't gone into a lot for that area because that area would cost so much. So we decided to focus on the area where we, you know, realistically could budget and put money into have it completed. So that one is probably the last one on our list.
I guess it would be like the last.
It would probably be like the last, because it banks the organization is great, but it's so kind of far off that we would want to spend our money where things could be used more here and, you know, by the items. That kind of, so we kept sort of a number, sort of an idea of what we would focus on first. I think they did.
Yeah, right.
So, medium park areas. So, I started with the medium park areas, then the park plant smaller areas where you see a lot of the vegetation over there, not so much the grass.
Right.
And then the play field, Highway 1, second class, and then the parkway would be last. And that's if that was something the residents would even be okay with, because they really like doing their own, like,
they want to see what they want to see. You don't spend multi-$1 million on a home to not have a say in it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're good for a
window. Any other questions?
So the only comment I would say is I had like an idea. I know this is off topic, but
absolutely, go for it.
Is like the median. Have you guys thought about like offering it kind of like a adopt a median, where like a landscape contractor like me could like take a section and landscape and do whatever I wanted with like my little sign. This is my area. This is CP's area. This is Rhythm and Roots area.
It's definitely something that we could bring up to the cloisters, just because we do use their assessment funds, we definitely want to get their input and see. At the moment, they really wanted the city specifically to maintain it because we did have a consultant doing that for a while, a contractor, and they did not like.
Well, and I think more of like for the initial install because that makes sense for, I mean, you know, long term, who knows that guy's going to leave and, you know, you're going to sell it to someone else or something like that. Because I had that idea as well for the, you know, the part of the bocce ball. Like,
right.
You could turn that into like,
little parts,
patio, that I made, a little section. You know what I mean?
For the installation itself. One of the reasons we didn't do that here is because we needed to keep the cost as low as possible. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing cheaper than using your own staff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. If you offered it as more of like a publicity,
and there's
thing
certain areas
for
that
like
are
a contractor
ideal
to do something like that, where it would be free to the city, except for the maintenance.
Yeah,
and then
I mean,
obviously they would have to hit checklists and boxes where they're not planting, you know, cactus and
right?
You know, poison oak.
Yeah, there's definitely, can you imagine being planting? There's definitely opportunities and places we could do that.
Just a thought.
Yeah. Well, since the island is mostly planted and maintained, probably not that, but there are parking lots like these tiny little areas like that would be a great.
That's what I mean.
Right?
Like something like that would
and that's in
cool
there. That would be in there. And they could definitely do portions of it like that little area, that area as you walk. They're sort of park islands, as they call them, I believe. Park planner areas. So that would be great for park planner areas. I think that's a really good idea.
Because I know that's kind of like in big cities they're starting to do a lot of that.
They really are,
You know, where they're like kind of adopt a square that's been weeds and trash for, you know, and companies, landscape companies are going in and, you know, it's like a living business card, basically.
So park planner areas would be like this island, this corner is.
Right.
Between like that red car and the white van, that's a park. Just that strip. On the other side of that trash can.
Right.
It looks like they just got them drawn in. It's very small. And then like this, right over here, this little thing sticking out with the light. That's called a park planner area.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Right. Yeah. There's a lot of different little opportunities to do that. We will definitely bring that up at the next Oysters event and. You know,
it might be an opportunity.
I mean, it's a great way to also save money if they're willing to take over. I mean, it's a win-win. I like the idea. Thank you.
It's the Highway 1 tree buffer, but that's not going to happen anytime soon.
No, that's so much
money.
Yeah.
One out of 100.
And the height limit is 12 feet.
Yes, yes, correct. The Oyster is height limit on the trees.
Well, it's 3 months, but probably like, you know, 1 week better.
Okay, so this is primarily just a landscaping concept plan.
Correct.
So, it has nothing to do with the play fields or the jungle gym or anything like that.
So, not the jungle gym. They do have the play fields, but the play fields realistically is just the area here, just right behind them.
Uh-huh.
And unless you want to get rid of it, which we don't, it's going to really be about maintenance and ongoing, you know, keeping it nice and green.
Okay. Yeah, the concrete, but I mean,
Thank you.
Well, the whole thing.
Any more questions, or do you guys think we're good?
Yeah, let's take a walk over to the pond.
All right, so everybody should go in, have a look. It's obviously very dry now. We have had several dry years, so it's not a surprise. Those of you that have looked at a map will see that the actual pond area is quite vast compared to what we see here, and that's because it's covered over by reeds, and it doesn't really look like a pond, but it does go pretty far back in both directions. Something that's happening here is just a natural cycle of storm runoff. As it rains, water comes down, brings down sediment from the hills and just along the way. And then when it gets here, it settles, and the sediment settles. And that sediment allows for the reeds to settle. And so the reeds continue to grow, and we have this issue that we have here. This is really a cosmetic issue. There is no biological reason or engineering reason to do anything about this, but it is a cosmetic issue. People here and people who come here enjoy looking at the pond, and right now when they come here, they see this. So in the past, the city has attempted to cut back the reeds. This is easier said than done. The reeds are not easy to cut, particularly when there's water. And actually, someone was injured here trying to do that because you're basically on a boat and trying to maneuver equipment. It's just not a good way to do it. There are other ways to take care of reeds. They could be killed with chemicals, but then you kill everything else in the pond. So that's not an option for us. Really, what the long-term solution here is to dredge. Dredging is incredibly expensive. We think that it would easily be over $1 million to dredge this pond. And again, because the impetus for dredging is purely cosmetic, it clearly isn't a priority for the city at this time. So the city and the Public Works Department staff do keep an eye out for grants, potential grants that could be applied to this. In some ways, this is a stormwater issue. And there are things that could be done once this was dredged to prevent further sediment from coming down, or at least at the rate that it currently does. For example, we can install check dams so that the settlement settles just above this area before it comes in, before the stormwater comes down. But again, all this stuff is really expensive. So this is the issue here. I just wanted to make you all aware of it. Again, it's something we keep our eye on, but not really a high priority for the city due to the issue being largely cosmetic. So any questions or comments or thoughts? Does any engineer want to check anything I just said?
It's beautiful. I like it just the way it is. Birds like it. Look at all the birds.
Birds actually nest in the area in the reeds that's dry, right?
I'm sorry?
Birds nest in here when it's dry, though.
Right? 180. Get a shot of the ducks.
Yeah.
We need it just to prove they're here.
Maybe you could build a longer pier. Not worry about these reeds.
Interesting idea.
This sediment here came from where?
Perfect.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was here 6 months ago. This is
true.
I mean, the storm runoff comes down, and there's actually a drainage channel that's on the other side of the pool. Runoff comes down.
Oh,
you
know,
all the sediment.
No, no. He's got front drove off, north jump down, dug off,
white.
Has anybody considered?
You know what it is? I bet they see people
doing
food.
Second story on the viewing platform. It's a way of showing off some of the environment.
I believe you were the first to offer that consideration. It's an interesting idea.
That could cost and liability.
Yes, but it's far less of a cost than dredging. I think the concern there would still be, you know, we don't see the beautiful pond. You just get a better view of the reeds.
No.
So. I actually haven't been here in a month or so. I have not seen it this dry. So.
Oh, I know.
We actually probably could cut some of this back much more easily now, but certainly not the whole pond.
Does the city ask for volunteers ever to do this maintenance work?
Not that I'm aware of, and I'm not sure we would want to with the liabilities involved. But something we could look at.
Is this something that a CCC crew might tackle?
Maybe.
Or a prison crew.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
But they're expensive still.
I keep the roads down.
We'd have to put some thought
into
that.
In my yard.
You know, the problem is we could cut the reeds, but unless you take out the sediment, the reeds just come right back.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Definitely keep those down.
Even then. It's the sediment that allows them to grow.
Does the second lake farther down have the same kind of sediment issue?
This is the lower lake. There's a retention basin on the other side.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, then there's another one in the dunes that this one flows into.
No, that's just the raccoon.
Oh, okay.
That's
used to, I thought.
Yeah, and it's when the groundwater
Any other questions or comments?
Not yet.
Both kids are at Mission.
Oh, it's hopeful rain.
Yeah. It's coming this weekend. Mm. No?
Well, they don't believe it.
Are you betting, man?
I've looked at the stuff.
Isn't the concert in the park over here?
Nah.
Actually, Kirk, do you want to come on camera and mention the concert? Excuse me, everyone has Kirk has an announcement about the concert this weekend at the Cloisters that his department is putting on.
Well, pending the possibility of rain, we are having a concert here at this park, a concert at the Cloisters, Sunday the 24th, if I have the dates correct, this Sunday. 3 to 4:30. We've got a band coming out of San Diego, DJ and the Vinyls. They call this a curated musical performance. Don't ask me to define that, please. And we're looking for everyone here in town to come on out and enjoy a free concert. It's free. Bring a picnic with you and a chair or a blanket, but definitely a chair if it's wet. And love to see you out there. Thank you. Thank you, Greg.
I don't think so.
I do think cows eat reedgrass.
Sorry?
Cows.
Cows.
That's a thought. Cows. Stick a few cows and pen them in here and goats. See what happens.
Goats would do it. I was going to say, that guy with his goats, rinse them out. Yeah. Bring his goats down here.
Not a bad idea.
You wouldn't kill it, though. They'd just come back.
Yeah. And I think the goat people bring that fencing, too. Pen them in. The chicken tractor, but a goat tractor.
I know, they can give it down to nothing.
Isn't it dumb? Or red,
I don't know if they do or not.
That's the thing too, like birds eat those seeds.
Goats
eat anything.
Get rid of those. Yeah, my mother-in-law had goats too.
They'll try to
eat
them. Depending
on time,
All right, so I'm sorry, our next stop is Franklin Riley Park. We're going to head over there. That was going to be a really quick stop. If you've been there, it's a very small park. We're going to be installing a sign there, so we'll show you where that sign's going to go. And there's some really nice views, too, so we'll go check that out. Thanks. So our tour's wrapping up. This is our last location, so thank you for joining us. This is Franklin Riley Park. Does anyone know who that is, who Franklin Riley is? Who's Franklin Riley?
He kind of discovered this whole area back in the, whatever it was, the start of the town or whatever.
Yeah.
He laid out the grid work of the streets.
Right, like the modern town after the indigenous.
And he planted all these eucalyptus, the damn eucalyptuses all around town, too.
Yeah, so we love them and hate them. But anyway, so the Historical Society wanted to name this park after him, so they brought a resolution to City Council, I believe, in 2017. And we just haven't put a sign or anything. It's kind of been like an open space vibe here. And we want to retain that vibe, but before Councilmember Davis's passing, he had expressed a desire to put the sign out, and so a community member did generously donate a sign to the city, and city staff is going to install it. It's actually down on that side, so we can take a walk there. If you have any comments, we'd be happy to hear those. So why don't we take a walk down there?
You're going to just leave the space?
No.
It's a passive park. And that's the intent. Yes. Keep it as a passive park. What does that mean? No playground structures. No lawn. No lawn.
Is the staircase down here? Well, it's sorry. I don't grow anywhere. It's the natural path.
I don't know if it's the park.
Yeah.
It's the park.
It's a bit like this.
How might take away from the passivity that just the Carmichael was describing?
What that does fall with human the range of that. Well, because, I mean, obviously, the deer is pretty, yeah. It gives them a little bit more opportunity to get to enjoy it, yeah. Otherwise, all deer is walking around,
yeah.
You know, and that's about it.
Okay.
Is that
something?
We are revisiting the
Today's start getting longer.
Sign's going to go to right in here?
Yeah, so the plan is to, right now, the plan is to put the sign in this area. I think it's around 4 or 5 feet across and about yay high, which shouldn't really obstruct any views of the bay. We would likely remove this bench and place it down the path a bit. And we're also looking at removing this stump. Big secret, on the other side of the stump, it's actually cut out into a chair.
Wow.
If you don't believe it, come around and take a look. Doesn't really get much use. So we may remove that as well. But that's the plan. And we don't really plan on doing too much to the park itself. It's a really great place for people to come and enjoy the still bay and the nice views here as we have today. So that's it. Just wanted to show you guys this. If you had any thoughts or comments, you can pass them along.
Couple picnic tables.
Picnic tables?
That's passive.
All right.
Trash.
It requires trash cans.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We did get
yeah.
We
have. Any other thoughts?
This is a sign that's just going to tell the history of Morro Bay?
No, it's not. Just going to identify the park.
Oh, just identify the park.
This,
oh,
okay. I believe, is the only park we have that doesn't have a sign that says, this is the park. So that's the idea.
Who's it named after?
Yeah. You tell me. Franklin O'Reilly.
Franklin O'Reilly.
Riley.
Riley.
Yeah. So.
He's the founding father?
Some might say.
Yeah.
Some might say.
Some might say he was a rogue. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah. So, anyway. That's it, guys. That's a wrap. Thank you for joining our tour.
Everybody can welcome.
There's a dog on a paddleboard.
And actually, I would call Doug and the chair of the Rec and Parks Commission to adjourn their meetings, respectively. So, Doug, you want to adjourn the meeting?
Thank you, everybody. Is there any public input? Anyway, I adjourn our Public Works Advisory Board.
503.
At 503.
Okay.
And Drew?
Yeah.
Right behind you.
Yeah, it's official. Hi. I adjourn the Parks and Recreation meeting today at 504.
Way!
Thank you, everyone.
Wonderful. Thank you.